Last year, our particle physics, 2006, is open. First, the conference chairman, Professor Yuji Kwan, will give a welcome speech.
Can you hear me in the back?
No. In this way? Okay. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2006 Summer School on Beyond the Standard Model. Summer School is organized by Institute of High Energy Physics and Center for High Energy Physics of Tsinghua University. And there are many people donated so that the school is funded by National Science Foundation of China, China Center of Advanced Science and Technology. This center is directed by T.D. Lee. And Asia Pacific Center for Theoretical Physics in Korea, and Institute of High Energy Physics, and Center for High Energy Physics of Tsinghua University. So I'll say a few words about why we want to organize this summer school. We know the situation of particle physics is quite exciting. First, we know that the standard model works very well passing all the physical tests, but its electro-weak symmetry breaking sector is still unclear. The standard model introduced an elementary Higgs field. But the Higgs boson is not found so far. And not only because of this, theoretically, the elementary Higgs theory suffers from the well-known problem of triviality and fine-tuning. So people generally believe that there must be a better physics, a better new physics, and some tail lambda, so that the standard model is only an effective theory or an approximation below the scale lambda, and above lambda we'll see the new physics. What is the order of magnitude of the new physics lambda? From the point of view of naturalness, we believe that the new physics scale is roughly about the TeV scale. So TeV is the special scale that if we reach the TeV energy, we may see new physics beyond the standard model. This is why people spend a lot of money to construct TeV scale colliders. We know the first one is the CERN LHC. It is almost constructed. Next year it will be done and will probably be end of the next year or early 2008. LHC will be able to take data. And also, people are actively studying to construct E plus E minus linear collider of TeV scales, because LHC is a hadron collider. LHC is a hadron collider. It contains a lot of hadronic background, so LHC is a good machine for discovering new phenomena, but it's not a good machine for precision measurement. So people want to construct another TeV scale collider. It's called the International Linear Collider, ILC. So if we can see new signals for new physics at these two machines, then particle physics will be in a new exciting era, so that we can go beyond the standard model of the particle physics, change a new theory. And also, we know that all particle masses in the electric weak theory, all particle masses comes from the vacuum expectation value breaking the electric weak symmetry. So if you can explore the real electric weak symmetry breaking mechanism in nature, we can understand the origin of all particle masses. This is a very fundamental problem in physics, in the whole physics. So this is very important. Just because of this situation, so people all over the world are making preparations for the running of the LHC. So we can, as I know, there are many summer schools in the world on this topic. Let me take some examples. In May, there was the International Accelerator School for Linear Collider in Japan. And in July, there was 2006 Slack Summer Institute, also on this topic. And then in August 7th to 11th, this is our summer school, Beyond the Standard Model. And in 2 days, there will be another summer school organized by Fermilab and CERN on Hadron Collider Physics. And in September, there will be Asian School of Particle Strength and Cosmology in Japan. And in October, there will be a school Beyond the Standard Model in Cosmology, Astrophysics, and Particle Physics in Mexico. I just take several of the examples we said about that. Every month there will be a school. So this is why we want to organize this school. For making this school more fruitful, so we invited many lecturers. They are all world experts. They are all acting, working in this field. So the letter contains Professor Howard Baer from University of Florida, Professor Seka Chiukla from Michigan State University, Professor Kaoru Hagiwara from KEK, Professor Elizabeth Simmons from MSU, and Professor Masaharu Tanabashi from Tohoku University. Originally, we also invited two experimentalists to give experimental talks. They are Michael Schmidt from Northwest University and Maria Spiropoulou from CERN. But unfortunately, these two experimentalists canceled their lectures at the last moment. So we cannot find other people to replace them. This is a pity of the school. For our school, we want to include the following topics. First, precision tests and new physics, and collider physics, and electroweak symmetry breaking and flavor physics, and physics with extra dimension and deconstruction, and supersymmetry, grand unification, and dark matter. And finally, Professor Chiukla will give a closing talk on perspective of high-energy physics. The experimental talks are canceled. So this is a very fruitful school. I hope that all the graduate students and young people can learn a lot from their talk. And to encourage young people, we also organize an afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, for young students and postdoc to give their talk. For the audience, so far there are many young people registered. It's about 170 young students. They come from 10 universities or institutes all over China. So it's the as I know, Institute of High Physics has organized several schools of this kind, but this one is the biggest one. So I would like to say a few words to young students. This is a very good chance that you can listen to the talks given by the world experts. So I think you should be active in listening to their talks. Not only listen, but also think and also ask questions. I believe that these professors will be very kind to answer your questions. Don't be embarrassed to ask questions. This is use this a good chance to learn as much as possible. So this is a rather intensive school. Every day we start from 8:30 and end at about 6 o'clock. But I think that you should just keep active. For refreshment, we'll organize a conference banquet on the 9th. And on August 10th, we will organize a tour to visit a temple called Yunji Temple. I was told that in this temple there are many more than 1,000 years old stone carvings. They keep a lot of it. This place is also new for myself. I'll go and visit. Anyway, I hope that everybody enjoy all the talks, and I enjoy your stay here. Thank you.
The speaker of the first session is Professor Talabashi from Tohoku University. Let's welcome.
Precision test.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. So I'd like to talk about the how we can use the result of precision test in order to constrain the new physics beyond the standard model. Let me first say the power of the precision test. The presently, we know the three fundamental parameters of the standard model very quite accurately. For example, the QED coupling constant at the scale of mass scale of Z boson is known to be about the 10 to the minus fourth accuracy. And Z boson mass we know about within the accuracy of 10 to the minus 5th. And we also know the Selene coupling constant about the accuracy 10 to the minus 6. So, we know the all of the standard model parameter, electroweak parameter, within the accuracy of 10 to the minus 4 or something like that. This is the present state of fundamental parameter. On the other hand, we also know several other experimental results within the accuracy of 10 to the minus 3rd. For example, Z boson width, we know the accuracy within 10 to the minus 3rd. The effective Weinberg angle, which is measured as the, the ratio of coupling between observed left and right current, is known to the accuracy within 10 to the minus 3rd. And we also know the mass of W boson with accuracy of 3 times 10 to the minus 4. So it implies that we can test the standard model. We can test the electrosymmetry breaking sector with this accuracy of 10 to the minus 3. So this is the present status. So what does it mean to this very good accuracy? Let us consider they categorize the various beyond the standard model, various extensions of the standard model into three kinds of categories. In one category, new physics or new particles contribute to electroweak physics at one loop order, but through non-decoupling effect. I will explain the meaning of non-decoupling later. But in that case, we expect such particles contribute to the precision test just at the accuracy E have achieved. So this, for example, Technicolor theory, I believe this Professor Simmons will explain this model for heavy force generation model gives the this order contribution. So this kind of model can be constrained severely in the present, even within the present accuracy. deviation from the standard model is usually parameterized by so-called Peskin-Takeuchi parameter, ST and U. I will explain later that what does it mean by these parameters. By using these parameters, we can constrain the beyond the standard model by using this ST probe. Even for the standard model, we can say something about the Higgs mass using this constraint. And the other category is the new particle. Other category of the beyond the standard model is the following. If new particle or the new particle in the beyond the standard model contribute to electroweak physics at free level, consider such situation. In that case, we are sensitive to the new particle mass to this scale. For example, various Z' model. This is the extension of the standard model by introduced extra U1. The fixed model, which will be explained by Professor Shibukura later. The little Higgs model contributes new particles to in three levels. In that case, this equation says that the present precision corresponds to the sensitivity of about 3 dB. So we can exclude this kind of model if the new particle mass is less than 3 dB or so. So this is it. We have a very stringent test. And in my lecture of this afternoon, I will talk about how we can constrain these parameters, these models, by using these parameters. And this is the present status given by Professor Barbier's paper, and I will explain how we can use these figures to extract information of the bound of new particles falls in this category. The next category is the new particles which contribute to electric physics at one loop level and through the decoupling effect. Unfortunately, in this case, we expect that the new particle contribution is suppressed by 1 over 4 pi square and suppressed by the mass of new particles. Then, at the present accuracy that the new particle is not so constrained. I will not talk about this possibility in my lecture. Okay, so this is the plan of my lecture. I'd like to next to explain what is the Weinberg-Salam model. Weinberg-Salam model is the present standard model at the three level. So in order to make the notation much clearer, my notation clearer. I will talk about what is the decoupling theorem and why it is violated in electric physics. Because of the violation of the decoupling theorem, we have very good sensitivity to new physics by testing the standard model, electric sector. And I will explain the STP, that is the Peskin-Takeuchi parameter C, somehow detailed, and explain the present bound of Higgs mass by using this one. And I will talk about the estimation of test parameter in technical model in my lecture this afternoon. And we can extend the STP by introducing electrolytic chiral pattern, so-called electrolytic chiral pattern theory. I will explain this theory in my lecture. And I will explain the STWIP on summary. This is my plan. Okay, so let me explain what is the standard model. In a simplest case, at three levels. We consider the electroweak sector. This model, known as Weinberg-Salam model, is a chiral SU2 times U1 gauge theory. So it contains three SU3 gauge fields and one U1 gauge field. And field strength is given by this equation. And these gauge fields interact with ordinary quarks and leptons through this interaction Lagrangian. And for example, left-hand fermion, left-hand lepton and left-handed quark interact with the SU2 weak gauge boson through this current. And the right-hand quarks interact only with the hypercharged gauge boson, U1 hypercharged gauge boson, through this hypercharged current. In this level, because of the gauge symmetry, W and all of gauge boson remains to be massless. in order to make his diagnosis, we need to introduce the so-called Higgs field in the standard model. The Higgs field is due to a doublet field and hyperchargedAnd we assume this kind of potential for the Higgs field. This wine bottle shaped potential causes the electric symmetry breaking. And if the Higgs, if this kind of potential forces the Higgs field to take the vacuum expectation value, V.Then this vacuum ZEBV breaks the electric symmetry into the usual QED gauge symmetry. Let me first start with the interaction in the neutral paradigm. We have two gauge bosons. One is originating from SU2, and the third component of SU2. And one is originating from the U1 hypercharge. The under the vacuum excitation value of Higgs field, these gauge fields acquire their master, but their master is not diagonal, and this mass matrix is not diagonal.So we need to diagonalize this mass term through this diagonalization matrix. This angle, known as Weinberg, is known as Weinberg angle. And at the three level, it is proportional to the ratio of hypercharge gauge coupling and the SU2 gauge coupling. And after diagonalizing this mass term, we find that there actually exists one massless gauge boson identified as a photon, and the other component becomes acquire its mass and this mass term. Then the Z boson, massive gauge boson, and massless photon interact with usual quark and lepton through this current. Photon interacts with quark and lepton through the QED current by the QED charge. And Z boson interacts with quark and lepton through this current. Note here that there exists Weinberg angle here. We also note that the QED QED charge is vectorized, so it interacts left and right, quark and lepton in the same magnitude. So we need to add these two contributions in order to consider fermion scattering in neutral parents. So the fermion scattering amplitude in neutral parents, there exists a contribution from the photon exchange, and there exists contribution from the Z boson, massive Z boson exchange. So we can write the scattering amplitude as a sum of photon contribution. This is photon is massless massless photon contribution and massive Z boson contribution.For the charged parameter boson, we only have W boson. And this W boson is massive. So, of this order. And this W boson interacts with the quarks and leptons through this weak charge. So, we can write down the charged parent amplitude like this. This is very simple.We know that both of Z boson and W boson contribute to effective four-fermion interaction at low energy. Because the W boson scattering for the low energy, the W boson momentum is negative, then it mimics the effective four fermion operator. In the case of Z boson exchange, we can say that if the K-square can be neglected, this contribution looks like a four fermion interaction. Let us consider such a situation. Then we found that the effective four fermion coupling induced by W boson exchange is given by the inversely proportional to the vacuum excitation value of the Higgs field. In the same manner, we can say that the effective four fermion interaction caused by the boson exchange can also be written in terms of vacuum excitation value. It should be emphasized that these two ratios, given a low parameter, is a unity. This is actually a distinct property of doublet Higgs. If you introduce Higgs field other than doublet, then this ratio can be changed. So this is a very distinctive property of doublet Higgs standard model. So let me explain what is the physics underlying this identity. Law needs to be unity in the standard model. This is a very interesting key point in order to restrict new physics scenario. The Higgs, as I told you, Higgs Lagrangian can be written like this. We can derive Higgs field this way. In the previous slide, we used doublet Higgs. But we can write this transformation and we can write Higgs field as a 2x2 matrix in this manner. If you write this Higgs field in that way, then the Higgs Lagrangian can be written like this. Then, what is interesting is that the, can you see this one? The Higgs, gauge boson interaction to the Higgs field can be written like this. It implies that the W boson interacts with this 2x2 Higgs field from the left-hand side, while hypercharge interacts with this 2x2 matrix Higgs field from the right-hand side. Then, if you write Higgs field in this manner, then you find that there exists additional symmetry in this doublet Higgs field because Higgs is written Higgs Lagrangian written like this. You can rotate this matrix from left and right freely. If this is so, this Lagrangian contains the extra symmetry other than the SU2 plus U1 standard model symmetry. Actually, this extra symmetry is the essential part to constrain the, for the underlying physics of low parameter. After Higgs acquired this vacuum excitation value, this SU2 times SU2 symmetry is broken to so-called custodial symmetry. This custodial symmetry remains to be unbroken if you neglect the hypercharge gauge coupling. Then, this remaining SU2 custodial symmetry, under this remaining SU2 custodial symmetry, the Nernst-Goldstone boson field, which are eaten by W and Z boson, behave as a triplet. Because this Nernst-Goldstone boson behaves as a triplet, then the four fermion interaction induced by W and Z boson seems to be identical. This is the, probably the simplest explanation behind the physics of low parameters. So the concept of custodial symmetry is a useful concept in the parameterization of new physics in the precision electronic data. So let me say something about the number of free parameters. So semi-coupling constant, that is the charged current effective four-frame interaction coupling, is determined at this equation. So it is related to the wave of heat speed. If you write the effective four-frame interaction in that way, then MW, mass of W boson, can be written in terms of the Fermi coupling constant. Then if you rewrite this, then the all of the Fermion scattering amplitude, including charged current, both charged current and neutral current, can be written in terms of three parameters. One is the QED charge, the charge of the photon coupling, size of photon coupling here, and the Weinberg here, and the lastly the semi-coupling constant. Then by specifying these three parameters, we can parameterize the all of the scattering amplitude at three levels. Let me say something about the definition of the Weinberg angle. In the literature, there are many definitions of the Weinberg angle. One is the so-called on-shell scheme, which in this scheme, Weinberg angle is defined as a ratio of W and Z boson masses. The other is this kind of scheme. We can consider this kind of scheme. In this scheme, Weinberg angle is defined as this ratio. And we can also define Weinberg angle by using Z boson mass, Fermi coupling constant, and QED charge. In that case, Weinberg angle is defined by this equation. Only in the three levels, these definitions are all equivalent. But in group level, these definitions differ each other, so we should be careful about this definition. Let me consider the effect of heavy particles. So what we want to do is to hunt new physics signal from the precision test of the standard model. We have very bad news, so-called decoupling theorem. This theorem states that if the new physics remains perturbative in heavy particle limit, then all the effects of that heavy particle are suppressed by powers of heavy particle masses, even in loop level. Then it causes the hunting for new particles very difficult because the effect of heavy particles decouples very quickly in heavy particle limit. But in the standard model, we have a very good news against this decoupling theorem. The standard model is a spontaneous broken chiral gauge theory. This is essential. This is the standard model is spontaneously broken chiral gauge theory. Then there's a class of new physics scenario in which heavy particles masses are proportional to the coupling constant. Then this kind of model, technically, for example, other example is heavy force generation model. In this model, if the particle becomes heavy, then it implies that the coupling should be strong. Then, in this class of model, the coupling theorem is violated. And we have some sensitivity to constraining these models from the precision test of standard model. Then, we would like to first consider how we can constrain this kind of model from the existing precision bounds. In order to do that, we need to parameterize all possible non-decoupling effects in terms of a few parameters. We first need to know how many parameters do we need in order to parameterize every possible non-decoupling effect. Okay, what Pesky and Takeuchi did is to make a catalog of that kind of non-decoupling effect for so-called oblique correction. Oblique correction is a vacuum polarization function effect. Anyway, before starting that kind of topic, let me first say something about the decoupling theorem, usual decoupling theorem. The simplest example is the decoupling theorem in quantum electrodynamics. In that case, the fermion scattering amplitude can be written as a photon exchange. And then consider a new physics scenario that contributes to the photon vacuum polarization function in this manner. Such a correction is known as categorized as an oblique correction. Then, this contribution can be summed up to this factor. So, we just need to replace this part to this new form in this kind of scenario. And in this kind of scenario, there exists QED gauge invariance. So, QED gauge invariance suggests that the new particle contribution to the heavy fermion loop is given vanish at zero momentum. So, new particle contribution of this part should be written like this form. Then, simple dimension consideration says that this vacuum polarization function scales like new particle mass like this manner. So, radial correction of new physics, the loop itself, seems to be non-vanishing even in the heavy mass limit. But this remaining contribution can be denormalized in this equation. So just replacing the their gauge coupling, their QED coupling to denormalized gauge coupling in low energy, all of physics, all of effects of new particles disappear in amplitude. Remaining part is simple dimension counting of remaining part suggests that the remaining part is dimension minus 2, mass dimension minus 2. That implies that the remaining part correction is suppressed by 1 over mass square new particle. Then, if we consider very heavy particle to contribute QED, then after appropriate renormalization of QED coupling, all of the remaining effect is suppressed by 1 over m square. So it is almost hopeless to detect such an effect in QED unless we have achieved very high precision. This theorem is known as Apfel-Kisson-Carlson decoupling theorem. This is true even for spontaneously broken U1 gauge theory. In this case, scattering amplitude can be written like this. This is G0 is the spontaneously broken U1 gauge coupling. new physics contributes to this amplitude through this oblique correction. Since U1 gauge invariance is broken spontaneously, there exists non-vanishing contribution even for zero momentum vacuum polar expansion. But there exists counter terms which absorb this newly introduced new particle contribution after denormalizing both counter terms. After denormalizing the vacuum value and after denormalizing gauge coupling constant of this theory, then all of the physics new particle effect remaining in this scattering amplitude is again suppressed by 1 over n squared. Then it makes very difficult to detect such an effect from low energy effect experiment. Let me say, however, that in the electric physics, this theorem is violated. This is very simple counting. We consider SU2 times U1 gauge symmetry is broken to the U1 QED coupling, U1 QED gauge theory. So we can count the number of vacuum polarization functions of weak correction. The U1 gauge invariance says that we have the only one charged current vacuum polarization function. And for neutral current, we have three vacuum polarization functions. One is the vacuum polarization function which connects the SU2 current and the SU2 current. And one is the vacuum polarization function which connects SU2 current and QED current. And remaining one is the vacuum polarization function which connects QED current and QED current. And we can make a low energy expansion of these vacuum polarization functions. Because thanks to the QED gauge invariance, QED gauge invariance is unbroken. So we can say that the vacuum polarization function which is related to QED charge vanishes at zero momentum. So there exists seemingly 6 non-decoupling effects. But as I told you before, that we only have 3 fundamental parameters in electrolytic physics at 3 levels, then we cannot absorb all of these vacuum polarization functions. Because we have 3 seemingly non-decoupling degree of freedom and 3 denormalization conditions, then we have 3 non-decoupling parameters in electrolytic physics. And Teskin and Takeuchi parameterized these non-decoupling effects like this. So, in the electric sector, there certainly exist non-decoupling effects. So, we can explore the by using precision tests to new physics scenario which contributes to these parameters. Under the presence of such an STU parameter, oblique correction parameter, or non-decoupling parameter, the scattering amplitude is modified. We need, like this manner, the S modified, for example, S and U modified W boson mass term, right? Because the pole of this scattering amplitude implies, for the position of this scattering amplitude implies the mass of the W boson. So the fifth of this factor implies the mass of W boson is 60. And also that the pole residue of this scattering amplitude is nothing but the coupling constant, gauge coupling constant. So this equation says that the W boson gauge interactions also modify under the presence of these oblique parameters. And under the presence of specific integrity parameters, neutral current process is also modified. Photon is the, as for the photon, the coupling property holds, so we do not have correction if we appropriately define fluid coupling. But as for Z boson contribution, S parameters shift both the coupling and the mass parameter. And T parameter shifts the mass of the Z boson. So by studying in detail that the mass of W and Z and the coupling of W and Z, then we can deduce deviation from the standard model by using these STU parameters in principle. So this is a project which I want to explain next couple of slides. If there exists STU parameter, then we can again think about what is the Weinberg we define. In the Onshevsky, Weinberg is defined like as a ratio here. And the, in this case, if we fix these three constants, then Weinberg is given by this. And if we fix QED charge and Fermi coupling and the mass of Z boson, then we can define the Weinberg through this equation by using three-level deviation. At the three-level, these three definitions are all equal. But under the presence of under the presence of STU parameters, as I told you before, that mass of W boson and mass of Z bosons are 50. So this causes the non-trivial modification of Weinberg angle. Each definition thus differs in the presence of these non-zero oblique parameters. So we should be very careful if we think about one loop effect, or if we think about the STU effect, what definition should we use for Weinberg angle? Then we next consider the effect of heavy fermion loop in order to illustrate the what order of magnitude do we have for the oblique correction. See, if suppose there exists, in addition to the standard model fermion, suppose existence of new heavy fermion, left-hand fermion and right-hand fermion, the heaviness of this new fermion implies the Yukawa coupling becomes large between these interactions, large. Then we expect there should exist violation of the coupling theorem in this class of models. Actually, we can calculate the loop diagram of these fermions at one loop order. Then S, T, and U parameters can be written like this. As you see, that the, even if heavy fermion becomes extremely massive, there exists non-zero contribution to S parameters. S and T and U parameters. The equation T and U parameters looks to be very complicated, especially if you may wonder what happens for if these two fermions degenerate, because there exists one of degenerate fermion mass, this kind of equation. But this one over n square minus n square behavior cancels from the from this log factor. Then we can make a systematic expansion around the degenerated cases. Then we find that the S and T and U parameters can be written like this. So the S parameter is the order of 1 over 6 pi. If there exists huge number of fermions, then it could be large. And T and U parameter. T parameter is proportional to the mass difference of two fermions. This accord is the custodial symmetry consideration. In the custodial symmetry limit, these two mass should degenerate. So, because T parameter is the custodial symmetry breaking effect, then this is suppressed by the mass difference square. But in this case, denominator is Z boson mass. So, deviation of T parameter also can be large. On the other hand, U parameter is defined here in a similar manner to S parameter. In this case, U parameter is suppressed by mass difference. And denominator in this case is not the Z boson mass, but the average of two heavy fermions. Then, U parameter, unfortunately, is expected to be small. So, if custodial residue symmetry is exact, then the mass difference vanishes, and then thus the T and U parameter vanishes. And T and U parameter, if you observe non-zero T or U parameter, it should be regarded as a consequences of a violation of custodial symmetry. And next, as I told you, that the size of U parameter is extremely suppressed for almost degenerated heavy fermion, or because the suppression factor. But the cyclical contribution to T parameter is possible because the denominator in this case is Z boson mass. And if we consider degenerated heavy force generation, it implies that the fermion, there exists four fermions. Three fermions is the SU color triplet of fermion, SU doublet color triplet, and one is the heavy lepton. Then n should be 4. Then we estimate the heavy force degenerated heavy force generation predicts S parameter of order 0.2. So problem is that we have the sensitivity of this type of S parameter. The most recent result analysis of S and T parameter is given by the left electroweak working group. And you can find this plot from this web page. In this plot, because U is likely small, then vanishing U is assumed. And STU parameters are defined as a deviation from the standard. You need to be precise about what the standard model. in this plot, top fork mass is assumed to be 175, and Higgs is assumed to be 150. Then, as I told you, that heavy generation implies something like this, and we have very good sensitivity to that model. In the next slide, I will explain what these lines mean. First, let us consider the constraint coming from this line. This comes from the measurement of so-called effective Weinberg angle. This effective Weinberg angle is defined as the ratio gauge coupling of Z boson. That kind of ratio can be measured through the measurement of forward asymmetry on Z pole. You see that as I told you, that the standard model is chiral gauge theory. So it distinguish left hand perimeter and right hand perimeter. So the Z boson coupling to left hand perimeter is different from the Z boson coupling from the right hand perimeter. It causes that in the E plus E minus collider, the produced Z boson is polarized. Then that polarized Z boson in the decay of that kind of polarized Z boson, we have some asymmetry between the forward going charged leptons and back going charged leptons. Then there exists non-zero, non-vanishing forward and forward cross section and backward cross sections asymmetry because of the difference of coupling of left and right gauge boson. Then, observing this, for example, forward-backward asymmetry, and there exists another type of asymmetry, but the observing various asymmetry, then we can deduce the size of, we can deduce the ratio of these left and right current coupling constants from the asymmetry. We can extract the information of the ratio coupling constant from the asymmetry. Then, I3 component couples to only left hand perimeter, while charge Q couples both left and right. So, Weinberg angle defined here can be understood as the ratio of left and right hand side coupling. Then, by using this asymmetry, we can extract information of S square defined as in the formula I used for parameterize the U parameter. Then, this Weinberg angle depart from the conventional Weinberg angle defined from the Z boson mass and film coupling constant and electron charge. Deviation can be calculated by using the equation this time. This says the deviation from the Weinberg angle defined in this scheme and defined in this effective Weinberg angle scheme. Then the size of the deviation can be written by this. Then we expect under the presence of ST parameter, then in addition to the standard model one loop correction, we expect non-vanishing S and T contributes to the difference of effective Weinberg angle and existing Weinberg angle. Then we know roughly the size of Weinberg angle, then putting this size, S squared equal to 0.23, then we expect that the measurement of effective Weinberg angle is related to the constraint of S and T parameters. Actually, this slope in the S and T parameters corresponds to this slope of coming from the measurement of effective Weinberg angle. Right? Next, let us consider to the absolute size of the Z boson gauge coupling. Absolute size of Z boson gauge coupling can be measured through its decay branching decay width, because the decay width is proportional to the absolute size of gauge coupling. There exists two kinds of decay mode. One decay mode is Z boson going to left hand chirality fermion. In this case, the left hand gauge coupling can be written like this. As I told you before, there exists a non-trivial correction coming from S parameter to the gauge coupling constant, absolute size. And the other is Z boson gauge coupling to right hand electron, right hand fermion. Then, because for the right hand fermion, in the case of right hand fermion, we do not have isospin component, then this term vanishes, but there exists Z coupling induced from QED charge. Then we can extract the right hand electron coupling to Z boson and written like this. Then, for example, we can consider Z boson decaying at the size of Z boson decaying into charged electron. Then, this decay width should be proportional to the square of Z2 gauge coupling constant if you neglect the mass of electron. Then, we can write down this equation in this manner, and again, we can write down the effective Weinberg angle in terms of MZ scheme of Weinberg angle. We use MZ scheme of Weinberg angle because it is most precisely determined experimentally. So, this is a three-level expression, but in addition to three-level expression, you find that their non-vanishing S and T parameter gives a non-vanishing contribution to non-vanishing shift to this decay width. This line comes from the measurement of decay width. So by combining this line and this line, we can extract information S and T. But by combining the measurement of ratio of coupling and with the absolute size of coupling, then we can extract information, all the information about gauge coupling. Then because the mass of gauge boson are known, then we can extract deviation from the order of magnitude of the deviation from the standard model. Finally, from the W boson mass measurement, we can extract information of U parameters. Because if you use W boson mass instead of Z boson mass in order to define Weinberg angle, then this is the trivial equation. But as I told you before, definition of Weinberg angle depends on the scheme you adopt. If you change scheme to W mass scheme to Z boson scheme, then there exists non-trivial correction written like this. Numerically, it gives this size of correction. then by measuring these W boson master, then you can extract non-trivial information of the U parameter. If you assume U is vanishing, then you can extract information of S and T parameters. This line corresponds to the measurement of W boson mass. So the slope of this line is given by the coefficient here. And finally, I need to say something about this line. This line is the somehow related to the standard model ambiguity. At present, we do not know the standard model Higgs mass. So there exists ambiguity of the standard model correction, which is proportional to the mass of Higgs boson. Ambiguity from the mass of Higgs boson. And if you adopt some reference Higgs mass, then if actual Higgs mass is given by MX, then it could contribute to S parameter like this manner. Also, the top spoke mass is not so precisely known. So if you adopt such ambiguity, that top spoke mass ambiguity also shifts S parameter a little bit. For the T parameter, interestingly, that the heavy Higgs implies negative T parameter. This is a rather large shift. And for the top Koch sector, as I told you before, that the fermion loop contribution shifts the T parameter by the mass square. So the T parameter deviation from the top Koch sector is rather large. And U parameter should be almost negligible. Then, by putting this equation, you find that if Higgs gets heavier, then T parameter, prediction of T parameter in the standard mode can be negative. So, new physics, if Higgs becomes heavy, then we need to new physics, which shifts in this direction in order to meet the present data. And top scope mass ambiguity is given by this size. This situation can be written in another plot. That in this plot, instead of changing the Higgs boson standard model prediction, they use different reference mass of the Higgs boson. If you assume 170 GeV Higgs mass, then the standard model sector ST plot can be written like in this red part. And if you assume 340 GeV Higgs, then there exists some deviation from the origin. And if you assume very large Higgs mass as a reference, then we certainly need to put new physics from the present state. And this situation can be written like in another way, that this is a measurement of asymmetry and prediction of standard model of asymmetry. And if Higgs gets larger, then the Higgs prediction of effective Weinberg angle gets to be sizable deviation from the observed value. And we can also say the mass of W boson. If you assume very heavy Higgs boson, then the mass of W boson present bound, present observation of mass of W boson is different from the standard model prediction. It could cause a bound of Higgs boson mass. That this is a famous plot, that by using this plot, you can say that the Higgs boson mass is bounded below about 200 GeV because the chi square deviates so large for heavy Higgs. So it implies that heavy Higgs looks inconsistent with precision data. But in this statement, we need to be careful. This bound is relaxed if there exist other contribution to S and T parameters. So the violation of this deviation can be understood that the Higgs mass, if Higgs mass is heavier than this bound, then we can say there certainly exists new physics beyond the standard model from the observation of the precision test. So maybe in LHC we can find heavier Higgs of this larger than this bound. In that case, we can say that there certainly exists beyond the standard model. Okay, so I'd like to stop here for my first lecture, and all of the figures are taken from this web page. And this is the collection of precision electric measurements on the resonance, and you can find the pictures from this web page. And I also used the plot made by Professor Erland, Professor Langenka, and written in Radio Particle Physics. So maybe I should stop here.
You made a statement that if there is a heavy Higgs discovered in future LHC, and then maybe I misunderstood you. Then you claim that there must be a new physics because of this S parameter problem.
Yes.
But it sounds to me, maybe too strong a statement, because follows from your formula on the Higgs mass dependence of the S parameter.
Yes.
But that is only a valid in perturbation calculation. But if you have a heavy Higgs, then I guess your formula will be broken. You cannot make a statement on heavy Higgs through your simple formula.
Yes, Higgs mass about 200 GeV still perturbed.
Yes. But if you have a heavy Higgs, and then you cannot make any statement out of your
you are talking about the
S parameter.
You are talking about the situation in which Higgs mass is about 1 keV or something like that.
That's right.
In that case, yes, it may be. Yeah, I'm just talking that if you find Higgs mass about the 300 GeV or 400 GeV, then in that case, this perturbative calculation is still okay, should be okay. Then there should exist the contribution other than the standard model. So that is the study.
From the figure, it seems that the Higgs mass might lower 100 eV, but CDF has provided a lower limit of Higgs mass.
Yes.
Seems lower than. But the lower limit provided by CDF is 134 GeV. It cannot be lower 100 GeV. How could you explain that?
Yeah, but the doesn't. But the actual things derived from this number. The actual thing, actual calculation.
Not this picture. The phone one.
Yes?
From this picture. Isn't that mass Higgs is lower 100 GeV? The right side.
This one?
Yeah, the right side.
This one? Yeah. Yes? But it can still okay.
Your blue line means.
Yeah, this line is still okay. 200 GeV is still okay.
The blue line means the Higgs mass, is that right? The blue line.
This one?
Yeah.
Yes?
And you mean the blue line and the cross point might be the mass of the Higgs and this point is lower than 100 GeV. My question.
Yeah, but this is one thing about.
What?
One sigma. So statistically it can occur. Two sigma deviation can occur. So you need to do everything to fit simultaneously.
Okay, but the mass of Z boson has been accurately mirrored. So
this is mass of W.
Okay, it seems the cross point might be the mass of the Higgs.
Yeah,
but this point is lower, is that mean?
This one?
But the cross point is lower than 100 GeV.
Yes. This is 100 GeV.
Yeah.
And this is 200.
It's lower than
this one and this one?
I mean, the mass of W boson has been accurately mirrored, and it's just in the. Sorry. 我的意思就是说，你这个焦点的位置就会是那个Higgs 的质量。那么你从这个图上就可以看到 Higgs 质量它是会低于100 GeV 的，但是费米实验室给出的 Higgs 的下限是114 GeV。那你如何去解释这个问题？那从这张图上来讲，你的这个虚线就是 W 波速，就是波速子的那个质量，然后你这个蓝线和它的焦点就应该是这个质量。
它那个是那个 precision test 不是直接测量，是从 global fit 出来的，所以它质量偏低。跟你说的那个 CDF 的并不保证，那个是直接测量的一个价钱，这个是并不是直接看并不是质量，是通过这个 global fit 得到的，
就直接测量的哪里就没有放。
OK。
没有直接测量，这里只是间接测量，间接测量它一个 range 放在上限是200个 GeV 上面的线，下面是那个比较低的，等于低于100。是偏低的，所以所谓的这些精确质量，最后都反映在下一张图上，最后它一个没，这种 I square minimum，I square minimum 在100 GeV， 但是它一个 range， 最后它这个 range 是这个90%到100% level 是200 GeV。
Okay, I see. Thank you. I'm so sorry. I'm good at the rank physics. Sorry.
So I understand the concept of heavy Higgs you used in your presentation includes the case of a few hundred GeV, like 500 GeV or a little heavier. So I want to know the common concepts of heavy hits used in the international particle physics field. The energy scale for a heavy hit. I mean, how do you distinguish a heavy hit or a light hit? Is there any explicit definition for that?
So Higgs is heavier than this bond. Then it implies that we need something. The radiation becomes much larger than the standard model. So it implies that we need something in X prime.
So I want to know, is there any concrete energy scale defined for a Higgs, a heavy Higgs, like 1 TeV or a few hundred TeV?
So if you find the Higgs mass about 300 TeV, then the delta chi square is 6. So okay, we can clearly rule out such a model from the precision experiment. Then, in order to make everything consistent, we need extra contribution to pitch shift the precision test measurement. That is what I'm talking about. If we find the Higgs below 300 something, then it would be okay, because the I'm not sure which delta chi scale should I use, but the if you find the lighter Higgs, say 200 GeV, then we can explain everything within the standard. But if you find Higgs boson heavier than that, then it implies that that Higgs boson is not enough to explain the precision test. So we need something else. That is a step.
Okay, I see.